Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's Josh Brown and JT Holton. What's up, fellas?
Pew, 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 pew.
I'm doing
my gun fingers.
Hey, finger guns.
Hey.
Do you imagine that's like six shooters, or are you thinking like, you know, laser beams, or what's in your mind when you six shooters, JT?
I do more like space guns, like lasers, like pew pew pew. But yeah, it could easily be like. But I guess if you got two six shooters and like a six shooter in each hand, and you're just doing this, you're just missing badly.
That's probably true. What about you, Josh? Do you do finger guns? Like, if any dad over the age of 30 does finger guns, right? Like,
no, I definitely don't use. I don't do the finger guns.
Josh, you need more practice finger banging, dude. It's the best. What? Bang, 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 bang.
What did you say?
Is that what they call that, kid?
Just saying.
Wait, if you don't do the finger guns, then how do the people in your office know you like them?
Yeah.
Oh, like, man.
How do you relate to? How do you say hey on a Friday?
People are listening to this podcast right now. And it's like, JT, and it's like y'all don't even care sometimes, you know?
Josh, you've met Jeff. There's no way you talked to Jeff and didn't use finger guns. Like, it's impossible.
Stop.
Like, Jeff is the guy when you walk up, he's like, hey,
first of all,
you, this guy, it's this guy. You
first
know,
of all,
like,
we really need to kind of rebrand ourselves if we're still trying to placate to Donahue, because I don't think Donahue listens anymore. So, I mean,
he does. He listened last week.
Sometimes.
Jeff is
sometimes.
The kind of guy, Jeff's the guy you run into at the Braves game, and he sees you coming, and he points at you, and he goes, hey, who let this guy in here?
That's him. That's him 100%.
That's what he said. That's, yeah.
Yeah. Josh doesn't know those kinds of people, though, JT, because he lives in Boone, where people are sophisticated. Yeah. But see, Josh, if you did the finger guns, you could get along with the people at Boone. You're social distancing. You're staying far enough away.
I'm not even trying to social distance at all.
I think that's why they call him Finger Bang Fauci, because he's against the handshaking. And thinks we should all go back to just the finger banging each other every time we see each other.
What is wrong with both of you right now? You don't even text me. You don't even text me over the weekend to ask me how I'm doing after the earthquake, and now you guys both,
because you texted about the earthquake right away.
I almost died.
You said I felt an earthquake, and then I knew okay, he's alive. That's good.
I figured Josh just farted really hard. Like, to be honest,
moving,
like,
and you guys don't even care.
How much weed did you smoke?
No comment.
That's what I thought.
It was Sunday morning. So.
Okay. Easy like Sunday morning. There you go. I mean.
But I did partake Friday evening.
Ah. Oh, speaking of which, our friend of the show that stopped by your house, Josh.
Yes.
And has gifted each of us with special things. I got a package from him in the P.O. box that I finally remembered to check, full of inappropriate questions. It was fantastic. It was a box of 50 completely inappropriate conversation starters. It was wonderful.
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious. That's what it was. It was a box labeled 50 inappropriate conversation starters.
Dude, yeah. John Foss is a legend.
He is.
What does it give me? Is there an example? Like, inappropriate conversations?
So,
yeah, give us an example.
So one of the cards said, you're standing on a street, and there's homeless people everywhere of all ages, okay? And
I'm already laughing.
This is going downhill, I promise. And you can cure the world of cancer if you sleep with one of the homeless people here. But if you refuse to sleep with the homeless people, No one in the world ever knows that you refused, but cancer doesn't get cured. And you get to choose which homeless person you would sleep with. Do you do it?
Wow. So these are like moral questions. Like,
no, I mean, no, some of them are. Some of them are not at all.
I thought it was like inappropriate conversation starters, like, how'd you get in the wheelchair? Like that. Kind of
yeah, no.
Yeah, those are
like you're starting an inappropriate conversation.
They're not necessarily conversation starters. They're also just like really tough, like zany questions. Yeah. So,
yeah, like philosophical questions.
I would probably, I mean, honestly, I don't think I'll be curing cancer. I'll be honest with you. Sorry. I'll selfishly take my chances, hope that I never get cancer or the folks that I love. And if it happens one day, I guess I'll feel
well,
a little
bit of
remorse.
Well, I mean, are we talking San Francisco homeless? Are we talking LA homeless?
That's a good question.
Talking,
that's a great question because I've actually.
Are we talking like Commerce
question.
Tanger outlets homeless? Because they're like, there's a whole different standard of
it's
homeless.
It's true.
Depending
that's
on where
actually
at,
true.
You know?
Yeah. If you're talking about like Oregon, you know, Eugene, Oregon, San Fran, it's a little bit of a different breed of homelessness that you could probably.
Or what if you're freshly homeless? Like you just lost your house. The day before. Mm.
Like, JT.
You're homeless.
JT, it could be
fresh.
You. You just sold your house, and JT could be there on the street, Josh. Like, there you go.
Homeless. And there you go.
I'm just
saying. Did the question have a gender in there, or was it just, like, homeless?
Nope. Just homeless. No. Yeah. All kinds.
See, see, that's a problem, because it seems like this is actually statistically true, but the vast majority of homeless people are actually men. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is because men just take
more. A woman kicked them out?
Well, not necessarily, although that does happen. But men take more chances. They take more risks just in life in general.
Oh,
so.
Wow. Okay, people. Mm-hmm. That's Rupar Brown.
Yeah, it's true.
If you would like to respond.
That is why there's more homeless men than women.
And
generally take more risks.
You got a point there, Josh, because crack cocaine is quite the risk.
It is.
It's. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying good risks or bad risks. They just take more risks.
I don't think I'm homeless because I took risks. I think I'm homeless because I took crack cocaine.
Well,
I mean, it can be it. You can be homeless because of mental problems as well.
I took risks and drugs,
you're assigning
but
the
also
word,
some risks.
You're assigning the word risk with virtue, which is not necessarily, you know, always true. So it's like good risks, bad risks. Men are just, they live more dangerously. It's just
look,
true.
Josh. We live in America. No one takes risk anymore. You stay at home and you social distance and you don't get sick. No one dies.
I prefer Settlers of Catan over risk.
Wow. JT, that podcast is with Andy and Matt later. That is not this podcast. I'm sorry.
Oh,
Keith Law
like
will
settlers?
Talk to you about Settlers of Catan.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Andy and Matt, are they coming back?
They've had a podcast, Josh. Are you stupid?
Are you talking about Outfield Fly Rule?
Yeah. Well, what's their
the OFR?
Yeah, OFR.
Okay. I didn't know they were still. I didn't know. I don't listen to baseball podcasts. I didn't know. I mean, I follow them on Twitter, but I'm not paying.
Speaking of Andy and Matt, I found out that Andy has been blocked by Eric Cole. I don't know if it's because of conversations with us. I do know that Eric Cole, who writes for Talking Chop, that Eric once strongly made fun of Matt or insulted Matt kind of in a tweet because Matt was friends with us, I think. But this is weird because Eric's now blocked Andy. It's my understanding he's blocked Doc, and he's also blocked the Platinum Sombrero podcast.
What?
I can't decide Eric... I can't decide if Eric is like one of these guys that's so convinced he's like this high-level genius that he doesn't want anyone stealing his work that he puts out for free on Twitter. He's like mad at you, Josh, because you trolled him about his baseball takes 3 or 4 times. Or, 30 or 40 times. But,
right, yeah.
Or if he's just like psycho.
I think it's the latter two. I don't think he cares about people's like competition. I don't think that's the Doc one perplexes me because when I found out he had blocked Andy Harris, I mean I laughed really hard because you gotta be like why would you block Andy? Like why would you?
The only thing Andy would get blocked for is occasionally posting liberal tweets.
Yeah, like a person like it makes way more sense. It makes way more sense for someone like me to block Andy Harris than a guy like Gerrit Cole. So I thought when I found out that, I thought, okay, only logical reason, and I sound vain here, but this is God's honest truth, because he really does block people who interact with us. He really does.
It's weird.
And Andy had interacted with our podcast account this past week, so I thought, oh, that's why. He must have seen that, and that's why he blocked Andy. But the Doc one, because Doc hates us. Doc has disowned us.
Yeah.
So that theory kind of gets thrown out the window maybe a little bit, because Doc hates us, or maybe Eric doesn't know Doc hates us and thinks that Doc is our friend still. I don't know.
But Doc writes still for Talking Chop, though, right? Like, they're actually on the same. He used to. I don't know if he still does or not, but he did for a while. So
I don't know, man.
It's weird, man. It's weird. Like, I think, and I'm not trying to like dredge up old rivalries here. I just thought it was really funny that.
Well, I mean, it's still going on. You know,
we've always said Eric's like really good at what he does. He analyzes the minor leagues and puts out good content. We've never actually made fun of that. He was an idiot for making fun of
Eric's
Nick
Markakis, a great writer.
And I think
very shortly before he blocked me, I shared one of his articles about, I think, scouts. He did a really good article about scouts or something like that. Yeah, and then I made fun of his Nick Markakis tweet.
Yeah, and he's not like Ender Inciarte in the past when Ender was good. This year, Ender's really sucked so far. So yeah, he's probably back on that train again, I imagine. But yeah, it's just weird, man. You know, speaking of which, this is a good time for us to talk about this, fellas. I saw, and we'll try to leave the person's name out of this, Josh, if we possibly can. But we saw.
I'm not good at this, you know that.
I know, but I'm gonna try anyway. All right. So we saw. We've seen this by multiple people. Okay, there was an instance this week that brought it back to the freshly to us. But this is like learning moment with Josh, JT, and Ken. Okay, if you are a person. And I think we've actually talked about this on the show before, guys. That is, if you're a person and you have, like for example, if you're Jeff Donahue and you have lots and lots of money and you want to own more airplanes and more, you know, airports and all this kind of stuff, right? Like, it wouldn't make sense for Jeff to go in and, like, make fun of other people who own a lot of airplanes. That kind of doesn't make sense. Like, so if you're a Braves blogger who would like to be a Braves beat writer, or at least pretend that you are, it doesn't make sense for you to make fun of people like David O'Brien or, you know, Jeff Schultz or fill in the blank. Like,
yeah,
it's a disconnect, you know?
And it's a real big disconnect. Not just make fun of them, but like, to my understanding, DOB tweeted a very sensible tweet and just pointed out the fact that Camargo's hitting .175.
Yeah.
And this apparently caused people's brains to melt.
Yeah, and so people like are like, he's like prepping some article about Camargo being bad. And I'm like, well,
what are you talking about? He's bad. He's a Braves beat writer. He's tweeting about things that are happening, things that are occurring live and that are relevant. And Camargo hitting .173 or .175 is relevant, and I think we're the biggest Johan Camargo fan cast on the internet, you know. But I mean, when a Braves beat writer is just pointing that out, I'm not gonna cry about it from my mama's basement. I don't know, but it's a weird thing, and it's
I didn't bring this up for us to like bash the person that did that. Yeah. I want us to talk about this like in a different sense. Like, if you're that person out there and like maybe it's in your job, you know, or in your field of study, JT, maybe you can add in more here, but like if there's a person, like, this is some common decency on how to make friends with people.
Well, first of
and
all
how
first
to
of
like
all, you
win influence
right
go ahead
right you brought up a good point that I haven't thought about, but have we ever seen a guy like, with the exception of maybe a couple times, because I think Grant's probably maybe called out someone, but it's been appropriate. But like, for the most part, you don't see guys like Grant, McCauley, you know, David O'Brien, Jeff Schultz, like quote tweeting and poo pooing on like John Morosi or
right,
or
right. Ken Unless Rosenthal. It's just a blatantly terrible take.
Yeah, they just
like a Bob Nightingale tweet. usually.
Yeah, Nightingale's maybe a little different, but like for the most part, those guys, you know, Grant, to us, Grant's like the man, but like in the industry, Grant's, I mean, pretty low on the totem pole, and that's no slight at Grant, but like you don't see Grant just talking junk about Heyman and like Rosenthal and
right.
and Joel Sherman.
If anything, it's,
you know,
like he might put out a little very subtle shade from time to time, but it's never like blatant disrespect. You know, like
but when
you never read a Grant tweet and think, "Oh, wow, cringe." You know, like that you don't ever feel that way.
And when a Braves blogger or podcaster like does that, I have to assume, cuz I just can't wrap my mind around someone being that
obtuse.
Yeah, so I'm assuming that you don't care about networking and like growing your podcast or your brand. I'm just assuming that's where you are, which is fine. Like if you have 150 followers with your podcast and that's your deal, and you know that's your little echo chamber, and you're not trying to network and bring guests on, and you don't care about that sort of thing, then whatever. So I'm assuming that's where you are, because I can't imagine anyone trying to network, trying to grow in our little baseball world while just trying to dunk on people that are way more accomplished than you are in such a weak way.
Go ahead, JT.
Make yourself appear like you're on their level. Like, I think a good trick of the trade is even if you don't know anybody, like say Jeff Passan tweets out something, and then what you need to do is quote tweet it and go, "I agree with my colleague Jeff here." And then people just think like your coworkers. Like, yeah, my buddy Jeff. Like, we're friends.
To add some credibility here.
Perceive like you're serious.
To add some credibility here, Josh can be a prick on Twitter. You can, Josh. It's true.
I'm trying to get better, but yeah, you're right.
You are. I'm just saying. JT can be that way sometimes if he wants to be harsh. But in person and in DMs, I have never seen Josh get turned down by any professional except for that crazy woman that hiked Mount Everest.
She swam across the
Atlantic.
To
come on the show.
Yeah, but yeah, same.
Oh,
yeah.
Swam across the Atlantic. Yeah. Sorry. Basically the same thing. The water was just melted. But
I did both.
The mountain was melted. But like Josh doesn't get turned down because you are a professional genius at being able to just communicate with people.
And it,
like,
well, it's
like,
not
seriously,
hard.
Josh, you can communicate with anybody and you're good at it.
Well,
you know, like it's a skill, but that skill can be learned by most people.
It can, and it is not hard. And this is how it goes. Here's my invite recipe. "Hey man, I think you're awesome and really look up to you guys, or I really look up to you. Would love to have you on the podcast sometime."
Mm-hmm.
That is literally it. And that's not disingenuous. I mean all that. I mean, and I think that in order to mean that, you got to have a little bit of humble pie and I don't know. And I'm not, and this sounds braggadocious. It sounds a little bit like an oxymoron, because am I bragging about being humble? I don't know. But really, we're just a podcast. We are not professional insiders. We are not GMs. We are not Kelly McDaniel. You know, we're not any of those guys. You know, we are just baseball fans.
By Kelly Daniel, Josh meant
Kylie
McDaniel. But that's okay.
Yeah,
that's
fella.
Okay.
But like at most, I think we all have we're really good at communicating and telling stories, and we have a really cool podcast, but we're not baseball executives. We're not full-time athletic writers. And so when I reach out to these people, I'm like, "Hey man, I really look up to you. You're fantastic. Would love to hear your story." And I mean, 9 times out of 10, if you're kind and you mean those things, then they're going to say yes. And when I see someone like some of these other like podcasters like just being mean all the time, I'm mm-hmm. assuming you don't care about building relationships. Maybe that's fine. Maybe that's your deal, and that's all good. But I don't know. And you know, I'm not perfect, and I've pissed people off on the internet before, for sure. But I try to not piss people off that matter.
That's it. That's the key. Is recognizing who your peers are and who they aren't. And so, like, okay, so if you're listening to this, don't just take this as us talking about how to do a blog or how to write about the Braves, because this is stuff you can actually, like, internalize into your personal life. Like, the more you connect with other human beings that have value and the more you appreciate the value that they have, the more they were willing to share that value with you. You know, I mean, that sounds
absolutely.
But that's really what it comes down to, is if I value that person and I let them know that I value them, if I make room for them to share that value with me, then they're going to be happy to share that value with me. And you know what? A lot of times they will even reciprocate and find value in me as well. You know, I mean, not that that's really why I'm doing it, but that's
I couldn't have said it better. You know? That's like what it's all about. Whether you're, whether no matter what job you have, or whether you're trying to network or just whatever, that's I couldn't have said it better. Yeah, it's all reciprocal.
Yeah, I always like it when somebody like you get a big guest on like a local talk show here in Macon, and there'll be like even a substitute guest host in, and they'll have like DOB or somebody, Buster Olney, and Buster Olney comes on this show and acts like he knows and he's good buddies with these people down here in lowly Macon, Georgia, as if them and Buster Olney are old friends and pals.
Right.
Buster Olney doesn't know these guys from Adam, but it's because they treat them in a nice way and treat them in a respectful manner that they all get along just fine and everything's great. And it's like, oh, wow, cool. How did Bill Shanks get Buster Olney on the podcast? Well, because, you know, Bill can be a nice guy and Buster appreciates that. And it's called professionalism. And it's how the world goes
exactly.
around.
Exactly. You don't even have to agree. Like, look at somebody like Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan has people of all types of diversity on his show. People he doesn't even remotely agree with on stuff. I mean, he had what freaking crazy man on the smoke pot with him. What was that dude's name? I don't even know. The crazy right wing nut job.
Alex Jones.
Yeah. Alex Jones. Yeah. Yeah. You know, like, Joe and Alex Jones don't have much in common, but Joe knows how to respect humans and then have a conversation with them, you know? And that goes a long way to building relationships with people, and it adds value not just to what Joe's doing, but it adds value to that person as well. Man, I just don't – there's times that I look at young guys and young girls on Twitter or in professional situations and stuff, and they're just bashing somebody that's doing what they – something like what they want to be doing, and I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I just –
yeah,
I want to slap them.
Yeah, you do.
There's been so many times I've gotten so frustrated with people that I don't have any control of. Yeah. I mean, and to be honest, I have to, like, just back off. But I want to be like – you have so much potential if you just learn how to actually deal with people. Mm-hmm. Because what's inside you is really gifted, but you don't have the ability to communicate that with anyone else because you're a terrible person to be around. I mean, that's like 90% of Braves blogs. They can write really well. They have lots of great content, but they don't know anything about actual people and human beings and how to communicate with them. So their information just goes to a bunch of dorks sitting in their mama's basement and not to actual humans that can make things happen for what they're doing, you know? And that frustrates me for them. And again, this conversation, I don't want it to be hyper focused on Braves blogs. That's just like something we're familiar with. But I think everybody out there listening can get a little something from that.
I mean, we shouldn't have
Ken is doing a podcast. Oh, saying Ken, to make a point, you're doing a podcast from your own basement, damn it.
That's true. I am in my own basement. That is true.
The idea that you can have a conversation with someone that thinks differently than you should not be this new crazy idea, which is really sad. The first time I really saw it in our little, you know, baseball kind of podcast bubble was like, it was like three summers ago. You know, there was a Braves blogger who was just – this was back when Jim Cott was on Twitter. He ended up deactivating, I think, because of these types of people. But you know, Jim Cott, old school baseball guy, in my opinion, Hall of Famer, baseball royalty, if you will, right? He's on Twitter, and he's salty about WAR or advanced metrics, right? And I've talked about this before, about how the message is only as good as the messenger, and I've done videos about this because it's true. It's like if you're telling a person like Jim Cott that he's a freaking moron, right, for using batting average, he's not going to be interested in learning about war. You know, hello. Right, how do you not understand that? Well, this Braves blogger was basically just telling Jim Cott how stupid he was, right? And Jim Cott responded to him. He responded to him, Jim effing Cott, and says, would love to talk about it sometime with you, man. I DM'd this Braves blogger. I said, dude, take him up on this. And I felt this weird, like almost like big brother feeling to this person. And I DM'd him. I'm like, dude, you should totally take him up on this. He could interview him, man. Have him on your blog. It'd be awesome. And he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it because Jim Cott is old school. And this person basically told me that he's just being an asshole. And I'm like, he's not being an asshole. He's an old guy stuck in his ways.
If anything, you're being an asshole. Yeah, let's be 100% honest here. Right. You know, like
I was like, you're probably not going to change his mind if you interview him, man. But it's Jim Cott. You know what I mean? And I think he's a likable dude. Long story short, he never reaches out to him. I did. We had Jim Cott on the Aquamation podcast show just all to say, like, it can happen. My point is, like, it can. And we weren't even, you know, not that we're big now, but we definitely weren't popular then. But,
okay, so check this out. Josh, Nick Markakis hits a walk-off home run the other night, okay? Speaking of which, we will dig more into that a little later. But Nick Markakis hits a walk-off home run for the Atlanta Braves, and your phone blows up. And who is it? It's all the people you value that you've put value into. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I'm not trying to drop names here, but, like, you're the one getting messages from these very people you've reached out to and connected with. Like, they people in
Kevin,
that sphere.
Kevin McAlpin.
Well, probably, yeah. And others, you know. I mean, like, it's not weird for Michael Kelly to pick up the phone and text Josh. Like, and I know COVID's probably slowed that a little bit. But for the most part, like you guys text each other frequently. And like, you've gained influence with people you really shouldn't have influence with. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no normal foundation. Like, you don't have a reason for there's nothing special about Josh Brown in any sort of
definitely
outward
not
way that people are like, oh, I gotta text Josh Brown right now. You know, like, but instead, like, Michael Kelly and Kevin McAlpin and even Schultz will text you and DOB and different things. You know, like, it's. And we're not even on their level. Like, we mean nothing to them. You mean nothing to them in any sort of professional capacity. But because you were willing to value them, to give them a platform, and to not be an asshole, they consider you a friend. I mean, I use that term probably a little loosely there. I mean, you guys aren't going out and getting beers every other weekend, but I think you probably could. You know, like, if you were around them, I think that every one of those guys would go out and get a beer with you.
Oh,
you
definitely. McAlpin, like, I would get McAlpin shit-faced for sure. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won't text me because I forgot to bring him donuts that one time. That's the thing he's mad about.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's
I dropped the ball. That was on me.
You know, I think that we're shouting to the clouds right now. I mean, I really do, because I really think that, you know, I think the and it's not just baseball Twitter, but the types of people that we're kind of talking about, I just don't know if they care. I don't know if they care. And it's fine. It's just, I don't understand it. I wish I could just, like, slap them, change their hearts a little bit. Cause there's just so much potential too. Cause like some of them have actual talent. They're very smart. They can write better than I ever can. One of them that we've talked about has an incredible radio voice. It's like, dude, why are you being mean to people like who, or in your market, I don't know, man.
Who could actually probably help you?
Could totally help you. And even if they can't, you just never know. You never know.
Right.
You never know.
Right. You know. Right. And look, I recognize those people aren't going to listen to this podcast. They're not going to. They're not going to hear it. But hopefully somebody out there hears this, and you're like, you know, thinking about my own situation, I should probably do that. And look, guys, we're hypocrites. There's times we're assholes to people. I'll be 100% honest. There's lots of times we're that guy, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not our primary method of operation, you know. And sometimes it may look like that if you only know us on Twitter or on us being trolls from time to time on different things. But the truth is, like – that's not the best way to live your life is as a troll. Now, that being said, I would like to talk about a troll, fellas.
A troll?
In fact, a troll that is a friend of this podcast.
Oh, gosh.
Shifting gears, Dan Keats has been on a freaking roll.
Oh,
our buddy
Lord.
Online, on the for those of you who may not frequent the Twitters very often, Dan Keats, former or current international scout, as best we can tell. All I know is the dude knows a lot about baseball. I think he actually had John Coppola's phone number. I think he has the phone number of most GMs somehow. I'm really not sure how. Old drunk guy that goes to Central America constantly and South America scouting players. He loves trolling people on Twitter, and he's freaking great at it. For example, this weekend, you know, they had the rain out the first day at Philly. The next day, he changes his avatar to the Atlanta Braves and announces that rather than a doubleheader, that the doubleheaders have been rained out, and on Sunday there will be a tripleheader. And it got like 200 likes, and I think it got like 35 retweets or something because people thought it was actually the Atlanta Braves and that there was going to be a triple header on Sunday.
Oh my gosh.
And they're all going to be four innings.
Yes. I think he put something like that.
Well, tonight, after, you know, Nuke's meltdown, Keats changed his name to Bill Newcomb, changes his Abbey to Bill Newcomb's Abbey.
Oh no!
And is just responding to just, you know, all of the negative Newcomb tweets. And dude, I'm dying. I'm freaking dying.
It's
if you're not on Twitter, you don't understand.
If you're not familiar, Bill Newcomb, Bill sometimes listens to this show. He's listened in the past. Bill's a fun guy. Okay,
we love Bill.
But he's defensive. He defends his son on Twitter, probably to a fault at times. Love you, Bill. But yeah. it doesn't. It doesn't look the best sometimes. Bill doesn't care that it doesn't look the best. That's perfectly fine. That's the way every dad should be. You know, most dads shouldn't care. They should just be like,
yeah,
that's my son, and if you don't like him, you should eat crap, you know?
Right.
As Dan Keats puts it. So, you know, it's a little funny, though, that old Dan Keats pretended to be Bill and lost his mind on people on Twitter tonight. It was kind of hilarious, to put it mildly.
Oh yeah, but yeah, Papa Nuke is a gem. But yeah, yeah, because I mean, I'm not gonna be mad at a guy for because it's usually his tweets are like midnight. It's after a bad start, you know. Lord knows what I'd be saying if I had a Twitter and my girl was, you know, an athlete and she screwed up and there's thousands of idiots talking about.
Oh
how
yeah,
she's,
yeah.
I'd be the worst. Yeah. So Bill's not as bad as I'd be. I promise you that.
Yeah. I understand. I couldn't imagine. I would just not have to be on social media if I was a parent of a professional athlete. Speaking of which, you guys know Sean Doolittle? JT, are you familiar with Sean?
Unfortunately.
Dork.
He's a what,
socialist dork.
Very, very activist baseball reliever, right? He's very politically active. He deleted his Twitter this last weekend because Nats fans were mean to him.
Good. Are you serious? That's great. 100%. That's great.
100%. He deactivated
his
Twitter.
No way.
Because he really sucked. And he's really sucked for several games, and he deactivated his Twitter because Nats fans were being mean to him. His wife got on the Twitters and ranted about people being mean to her.
What a wuss. I didn't know that when I tweeted that thing about so like last like Thursday or Friday was National Purple Heart Day.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying to make a silly tweet about Yogi Berra, cuz anytime it's like Purple Heart Day or like D-Day or something, I don't know, like I always appreciate like Yogi Berra, Bob Feller and all these guys, like I and Ted Williams. I just think about like those dudes like left baseball to go do this crazy stuff that nobody now would do. Like no 23-year-old now would do what they did. Not happening. So yeah. I didn't know he quit when I tweeted this 3 days ago. I tweeted Sean Doolittle storms Twitter to tell us how MLB needs to provide appropriate PPE. Yogi Berra storms Omaha Beach, manning a machine gun on the USS Bayfield and wins 13 World Series. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's if you delete your Twitter over that, what a goober.
Yeah, this is the guy who constantly is on Twitter out there, and to quote someone, defending human rights, players' rights, refugees, LGBTQs, veterans, and many other groups, and declined to visit the White House after the Nationals won the World Series last year.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
He did so politely but firmly. He's a public advocate for mental health care and was one of the most vocal players during the tense toxic negotiations with MLB this spring.
Oh, my goodness.
As the spouse of an immunocompromised person, he urged people to focus on health and safety protocols instead of money grubbing. He continued to do so when baseball's return was met with COVID-19 testing issues, but despite his obvious frustration with the situation, each tweet was eloquent, detailed, and polite. And now he's had to delete his Twitter.
Eloquent? Wait, who wrote that? Who wrote that?
This was Gabrielle... sports written by women polite. For everyone.
What?
Girl, I didn't realize he was a. Have you? It was Henry David Thoreau on the Twitter.
Did she
there.
Say polite?
He was such a wordsmith.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not. That's just not true. I mean, stop. He's a jerk most of the time.
Okay, so here's some of the tweets that they did. This guy could not handle being a Brave. I can tell you that. Okay. Actually, I hate you. If we didn't get Hudson, we wouldn't win the World Series, you bitch. F you. Ship his sorry ass out. Ask the soy machine if he lets his girlfriend F him in the blah, 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 blah. He's pitching terribly. Him and his 18 ERA ain't passing crap. Stop being a social justice warrior and start being an MLB pitcher. Can you get through an inning, please? Irony.
Look.
Noted white guilt homo supporter blows game. that's horrible things.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Horrible things that are said.
Yes.
But if you're, first of all, if you're a social media voice, why does that bother you?
And those are all probably, so those were all fans with those were at Nats fan 85 with 11. Yeah. Dude, come on, man. Yeah. Come on. Listen. Right. Honestly, you know how salty I am about baseball a lot of times and their fans and Twitter, but I love baseball fans.
Yeah.
God bless them.
I think the reason that sounds, if you listen to that, that sounds really mean. But, if you actually knew what baseball players said, you know that's why they piped in all the fake crowd noise, right, Josh? It's not to cheer up the game. It's so you don't hear all the F-bombs and all the yelling and the insults that people yell at each other during a baseball game.
Oh, man. Me and Mark Spear were talking about it, and he was telling me, if fans knew two things. the Doolittle fans, of the far left, Braves Twitter. If they knew how conservative, the clubhouses were, they would just melt. And if they heard what they say in those clubhouses, they would all be canceled. It's just, it's a bunch of dudes.
And those are usually, your friends.
Yeah.
That's not coming from the other dugout.
No, right.
Those are the ones. Your dugout, when you give up a double and they're come on, you shithead. Yeah. Your buddies.
Right. It's a bunch of, and it's almost like me and Nikki watched 8 Seconds Friday night. It's very much the dynamic of, Lane Frost and Tuff Heaterman and that other guy. Just giving each other
that
shit.
Other guy.
That's all they do. It's just, and it's all fun. But
the worst things that's ever
use.
Been said to me came from my closest friends, probably, for the most part.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
It's why I love, I think out of so many different nationalities in the world, I love Irish people sometimes the most. Because
they just say exactly what they're thinking.
Right. They're just they're going to lay into your ass so hard. And it's because they like you. If they don't like you, they're not talking to you. They will not talk to you. But if they like you, they're going to give you so much shit.
Most cultures are that way. Black people are the same way, man. Mm-hmm. If you go and play basketball with your black buddies, they don't talk junk to the new kid that they don't know.
Yeah, they just won't talk
but
to you,
if
yeah.
it's you, oh my God, they will make you cry.
They'll make you
they
cry.
Will try to make you cry, Yeah. I mean, that's just the way it works,
There's 100% chance that if either one of you were a major league reliever and you gave up two earned runs in an inning of work, I would immediately text you, nice inning, dipshit.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And you'd find that after the game on your phone.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. What do you think? Okay, so
first of all, how old is Sean?
Most people don't know how baseball. Most people don't know how baseball works, Josh.
Yeah.
So for the people that have seen it, Greg Maddux, pop up, Chipper Jones, first. It was his first game in the pros, I think it was, JT.
Yeah.
You can probably tell the story better than me. Go ahead.
Is that the one where Chipper comes over and pop up in the infield and Chipper comes over and gets in his way? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yep.
Yeah. What did he say to
Calm
him?
The oh, fuck gosh. Down. Yeah. Rookie is what he told him.
Yo.
He was just a little exuberant, and wanted to make a play.
I mean,
he's knocking over people, trying to get the ball. But yeah, I mean, there is a mentality, and I think it's just also there's a part of it too in baseball when you know that you've got to play a long season and it's a long time that you really have to bust each other's balls just to keep it loose. You know what I mean?
Also,
bring some levity to every situation.
Also a pro sport, so like if you're out there sucking. I guarantee you Leo Mazzoni didn't go to the mound and say nice things to John Smoltz when John Smoltz wasn't throwing strikes. He went out there and said, how about you throw the ball over the bleepity bleep plate, you bleepity bleep bleep. You know, like, I mean, like, that's what they said. And you know pitching coaches right now with the face mask on, they're letting it rip. They're letting it rip.
Snit said last week he was glad he had the mask on when he went out to talk to Nuke in his last outing. So I can only imagine what he said at this one. But, you know, I mean, it's it's not like they're going out there saying, "Hey, man, you can do it.
You pitch a little
better. I believe in you."
Most fans think that they go out there and they're like, "You should hold the curve a little bit tighter. Why don't you throw them a slider in this position?" Like, I think that's what fans think that the pitching coach goes out there to tell them. You know,
I would love a pitching coach to grab a ball and start showing him a proper grip.
What in fact, Kranitz is like, "You bleepity bleep bleep. How are you ever going to be a major league pitcher if you can't throw the ball over that bleepity bleep bleep plate?" You know, like that's what he's telling him. You know, like you're on the first. Soon as this game's over, I'm DFAing you, and you're going back to Gwinnett, you sorry piece of trash. Like,
sometimes in life, no matter what your job is, you got to grab your nuts and man up a little bit. That's toughen up. It's not easy. There's times when your boss tells you you've done a shit job, and you got to deal with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah,
but in today's world, now everyone's so coddled. Like, everyone, you get, you should have done this, and you get 4 hours of on-the-job training of how to do it better rather than just saying, nah, you're fired, dude. You couldn't do the job. You know, if you ever – that's the thing I appreciate about those – Josh, did you ever watch the tree-cutting shows on History Channel? What was that show that they used to have? Loggers, like American Loggers? Is that the name of it?
Yeah. I watched some of it.
You know, like those Northwest loggers and people like that, if you're on that and you don't hustle and you don't do the job right and you, like, nearly get somebody killed, they don't put up with you. Like, they're not patient, you know? Like you do the job right or you find a different job, you know? And
Yep.
Anyway.
That's true.
Fellas, to wrap up this show, I think it's only fitting that we try to stump the chumps.
Oh, gosh. I was hoping we were going to get out of it.
It's not what's his name? It's not Joe Mather. We know that.
Nope.
So that's good.
Not Joe Mather. Okay. We talked about that before the show. Nope.
Okay.
Not
seems unfair to do Joe Mather, but okay.
Yep. This former Atlanta Brave is right-handed and is 47 years old.
I like that you're giving like as actual stats. Like he's married to Christine and has three daughters. Like, oh, okay. He lives at 1224 Elm Street. Okay, so he's 47.
What if Sean Doolittle saw my tweet and like, what if that got him? You know,
I don't think it was you, Josh. I'm sorry. I know you're a little about yourself, but no.
Man, I was really hoping.
Anyway,
okay, 47.
Mm-hmm. 47. Or whose turn is it? JT's.
It don't matter.
Ken, I got a question. Is he a pitcher?
He is. He is a pitcher.
Okay.
Okay. So that puts him at least 10 years ago, probably. Keeps a lot of options open.
I know who it is.
Okay. Guess then.
It's Mark Wohlers.
It is not Mark Wohlers. Damn. Good guess then.
You should ask if he did real estate in the Atlanta area.
JT, fire away.
Rip that one up. Is this pitcher a starting pitcher?
He was, correct.
47, right-handed starting pitcher. Was it Russ Ortiz?
It is not Russ Ortiz. Let me give you another clue. This former Atlanta Braves pitcher was caught in a relationship with a person who had the same job type as Kelly Kroll.
Oh, is she the Fox News, Fox Sports girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our new Kelsey. It's Kelly.
Did Kelsey get hired anywhere else? Just one.
I don't know. Okay. I haven't seen Kelsey anywhere yet.
She was still under contract, so I don't think she could yet. That's why she was doing like some hockey stuff for Fox Sports South, like Hurricanes pregame stuff.
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that. So she still had other jobs within the company, but just not. So I'm not sure if her contract's even fully up yet. She's just not on the Braves part, just playing out there. Wow. So had a relations with a sideline with a person.
Yeah.
Wow.
A sideline reporter, I guess, or a dugout reporter, I guess. Whatever terminology you would like to use.
Josh, you have any guesses here?
Seven starting pitcher 10 years ago. Oh man.
This is great radio.
Josh? No, I can't say this because because he wouldn't do that. No.
Okay.
He's a Christian man.
Okay.
Was it Derek Lowe?
I need a guess.
Derek Lowe.
It was Derek Lowe. You nailed it.
What a douchebag. Honestly, you know my formula there? I thought, who's the biggest douchebag in Braves history? Derek Lowe.
You nailed it.
Honestly.
He actually divorced his wife about 2 or 3 years later and then married the dugout.
I didn't even know
that. The dugout reporter for the Dodgers.
I didn't know that. I did not know that, dude. But that does not surprise me. What a total
Josh
douchebag.
Nailed it. Yep. It was totally.
I always remember Derek Lowe, and he always pops in my head for this. We were in the Braves at Turner Field, these luxury suites for a Braves Yankees game. This had to be 2009. And on the way up there, we found out on the radio that Michael Jackson had passed away.
Oh, man.
And the starting battery that night, or whatever the pitchers were, Derek Lowe and Andy Pettit. Mm-hmm. And the NBA draft was that night. We always remember that. And we're watching, we're sitting out there on the little balcony, and my dad goes, Pettit and Lowe, huh? He goes, Michael Jackson told a lot of kids to Pettit Lowe, didn't he?
Oh, my God.
Well, that story went somewhere I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, right?
So
right?
That's,
it did.
So that's where
it
you
took
get
a turn.
From.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I definitely
oh,
get it.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah,
that's
you got a good point. Yeah.
Derek Lowe. Yeah. Oh, I couldn't stand
Derek.
I could not stand. You don't understand. Like there's been a few players throughout the years that I just have not liked, but Derek Lowe, number one. I could not.
I knew your disdain for
just
Derek
his
Lowe.
Face. And just his face.
One of my future clues was going to be this guy was a complete douchebag. That was going to be one of my future clues. Do you know? Okay, so here's a few fun facts about Derek Lowe. Career 34.3 WAR.
Wow,
that's actually pretty dang good
for a pitcher.
17 year career, and
it's longer than I thought. Wow.
Do you know he once threw a no-hitter against the Tampa Bay Devil Rays? And he finished third in the American League Cy Young Award voting in 2002. He played for the Yankees.
Yeah, good for the Red Sox.
He played for the Red Sox, the Dodgers, the Mariners, the Braves, the Indians, the Yankees, and the Rangers.
I did not know he played for half
I don't remember the Mariners. Yeah, I don't remember that. I saw him on a golf thing last week, the celebrity pro-am thing they were doing, and they had a par three contest, like, closest to the pin, and he was one of the guys. It was him and, like, Rob Riggle, Canelo Alvarez, the boxer, was the one who won it. And then they had Derek Lowe. And I was like, well, they're really stretching the celebrity aspect of celebrity.
I just remember, yeah, like, pro-am. He had, like, these highlights in his hair. And he would go on the DL for, like, a hangnail on the regular.
Yeah. Yeah. And was always greasy looking.
He was always.
Yes. Always yeah. Greasy, like, he made Jason Grilley not look greasy, which is weird.
Grilley,
you know,
was like a good. A good greasy, almost like an American hardworking kind of wholesome
sweaty. Yeah, he was
greasy.
Like a sweaty dude. Yeah,
yeah.
He kind of looked like Tim McGraw a little bit to me.
You know, if Derek,
like, if
Lowe,
Tim McGraw is a heterosexual.
If Derek Lowe moves to Colorado and smokes a lot of weed, does he become Derek High? And on that note, we're going to end
there.
This episode of the Knock Elimination Podcast Show. It's been fun. It's been real.
I can't say anything.
It's been real fun. Fellas, I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow. That's going to do it. Hey, if you're supporting the show, Patreon is back up and going. We apologize for last week there being some problems, but we got it back up and running. Patreon.com/knockahomination. If you'd like to support the show, please do so. We got 3 different tiers that you can support the show. You can get your shirt, you can get your sticker, you can get all kinds of cool stuff. Do that. Check it out. Also, if you'd like some amazing Knockahomination t-shirts and other amazing gear, you can get that at shop.spreadshirt.com/knockahomination. We got all types of awesome shirts. They're actually really good quality, too. There's some really nice stuff in there. It'll last you a long time. Enjoyed it. Fellas, it's been fun. We'll see you tomorrow.
It's been something.
Good job, you guys.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahomination is brought to you by Knockahomination patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomination. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomination.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.